Knight Hubbard Howe Group of NAs.
Woo!
Hi, everyone, and Kyle. My name's Sylvia. I'm a grateful recovering addict. And if I could, I'd like to do a couple things before I share. I do it every time I share. First thing, I'd like to read a real quick paragraph here at the beginning of the book because it means a lot to me. We cannot change the nature of the addict or addiction. We can help to change the old lie, once an addict, always an addict, by striving to make recovery more available. God help us to remember this difference. Let me take a moment of silence, please, so I could attempt to get out of the way and invite the God of my understanding in to deliver a clear message. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Okay, last thing I'd like to ask everybody to do is please stand up, hug the person on your right, and hug the person on your left, and anybody else you feel like hugging. Okay, sorry I didn't get to hug everybody, but let me explain the reason that I ask everybody to do that. There's a couple reasons. First of all, we all have a different God of our own understanding. And that's just an invitation for our own individual God of our understanding to come into the grove here and join us. You know, because I had a problem with that at one time. I thought everybody's God should be the same as my God. Thank God it's not that way. And another reason is to get everybody else comfortable with me and to get me comfortable with everybody else, although I know most of you out there. And probably the most important reason is if it wasn't for that first hug that I got when I came in, I may not have stayed. I may be another statistic, just like a lot of addicts that I'm sure we all know. So that's why I do that. The topic I was asked to share on is the fifth step. We admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And then I heard Mel say, freedom. And you know, there's a few sentences that really stick out to me in the fifth step. And I'm not going to read the whole fifth step or anything like that. I just want to read a couple sentences that really stick out to me. And the first one sets the tone. The fifth step is the key to freedom. Sharing the exact nature of our wrong sets us free to live. Then a little bit down the page, it says step five is not simply a reading of step four. Then on the next page, it says these defects grow in the dark and die in the light of exposure. Addicts tend to live secret lives. And probably the one that really, really stuck with me, the masks have to go. Okay? Because I know, and I'm going to try to touch on all of these. You know, honestly, I've had a lot going on in my life, and I've had to live the steps and embrace the steps quite a bit in my life lately. And I guess before I share, bless you, before I share or before I start into the fifth step, I'm just going to share real quick what's been going on in my life, because I'm going to probably make some references to what's going on, and you know, then maybe you will understand what I'm saying a little better. Several months ago, my mother ended up in the hospital for extended periods of time, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And finally, on the second or third time that she was in for about a month, you know, the doctor finally came up to me and said, you know, we did a urine on your mom, and she doesn't have any pain medication in her system. So my mind immediately went, and I was correct about what was going on. My sisters and my nephew were stealing, withholding, taking, whatever the case is, her pain medication. And my 73-year-old mom, she'll be 73 in a couple weeks, was in the hospital time and time again going through opiate withdrawals. So, you know, I say that because I want you to understand that when I'm talking about the exact nature, because I'm going to tell you what my exact nature was at that time. Okay, well, so anyways, I had to start cleaning house. And I did. And I put three family members in jail in 1 week's time. And my one sister, who's still in jail, put $20,000 on my credit report. Opened up 8 accounts using my social. Okay? So I got my mom. I got my sisters. I got all this other stuff going on. I got a house I bought 2 years ago that I completely gutted and was in the process of rebuilding. And all of a sudden, here it is, I have no credit. I have a mom in the hospital. I have a mom in the nursing home now. So I had to stop working on my house and go to her house because they had her living like she was in a crack house. Okay? So I'm redoing her house now in an attempt to get her home from the nursing home. And, you know, they say, share with myself, with God, and with another human being. I've been doing a lot of talking to God lately. You know, asking for guidance. I've been doing a lot of talking to my sponsor, my support group lately, asking for guidance. Because my exact nature, I immediately became pissed and vengeful. And I wanted to do shit like I used to do before I got clean. I wanted to start hurting some people. You know? And truthfully, my one sister, she got sentenced on a retail theft 2 days before I found out about this credit card shit. I don't know what I can honestly say, I don't know what I would have done had she been out of jail and I found out this information. You know? So, that's what's been going on in my life. So, I've been a little bit overwhelmed. I've been feeling like not as spiritual as I wanted to feel. Usually when I share, I like to take, like, when I know I'm going to share, unlike Nika, who just found out he's going to share. But when I know I'm going to share, I like to take a half a day or a day and just chill and do nothing and just meditate, pray and meditate. And, you know, my life has been so full lately because I'm still working full-time, too. Go to the nursing home every day. Go do something for my dad every day. I'm working on my mom's house, rehabbing her house. I have no time. And, you know, I rode over. My friend Jason came over and was nice enough to pick me up from the other side of Ohio. And when he called me yesterday, and he was supposed to be here like 2 to 3, and he says, man, I can't come till 4 or 4:30. I was like, cool, I could take a nap now, you know, because that's how my life has been lately. But, you know, I want to share my experience on what it was like. Just by show of hands, how many people have shared the fifth step with their sponsor? Well, that's good. That's a good amount. Because, you know, I heard an interesting statistic, and it says the first sentence. It says the fifth step is the key to freedom. An interesting statistic that I heard that was supposedly conducted by NA World Service is that 85% of people that come to these meetings, come to NA meetings, have not formally shared a fourth and fifth step with their sponsor. You know, and you think about that statistic, that's frightening. You know, that's like 5 out of 6 people. And to me, you know, our odds aren't that great to begin with. because if everybody that needed this program was here, we wouldn't have room. Okay? We are the God-chosen ones to be here. Or the Kyle-chosen ones, whatever. But you know, this thing is all about increasing my odds of sticking around for another day. And what I do is I do what I have to do. And by doing the fifth step with my sponsor the first time, I didn't realize it at that time, but I know now that I increased my odds of sticking around by sixfold. Okay? Because how many people, another show of hands, how many people know somebody that's done the 1-2-3 shuffle and then they're gone? How many people know somebody who they'd seen at a meeting or two or three and might have gone in and had coffee with them and they've never seen them again? How many people, here's the one, man. How many people have gone to funerals? Okay. Well, I want to share two real quick things on that funeral thing that, you know, I just keep fresh in my mind all the time. And first one was a couple years ago. I went to a funeral of a guy I sponsored. And he was in and out of the rooms. Couldn't get it. Just couldn't get it, man. In and out of the rooms. In and out of jail. And I was friends with his family. And next thing I know, I'm going to his funeral. And his mother is standing at the head of the casket, bawling her eyes out, shrieking, in pain, tugging at my shirt. Why couldn't he get it? Why couldn't he get it? What was wrong? And you know, that's a tough position to be in, to be asked that question, because I don't know. I mean, if I knew, like I said, there'd be a lot more people in these rooms. But then a couple months ago, I went to another funeral of a guy that I was sponsoring, and 23-year-old gentleman who had his whole life in front of him. And a little 5-year-old girl found him dead in the bathroom with a needle in his arm. You know, I thought those two things were like the kind of shit that you only read about. But that's the kind of stuff we live every day, you know. I remember the first time that I did my fifth step. And we sat in my... And it says in here, the fifth step is not just simply a reading of step four. Okay? Because step five is looking at that exact nature. And we were sitting in my sponsor's office at the time. And we sat there for hours, and it seemed like days, you know. And I was like so petrified of sharing my fourth step and doing my fifth step with him, because I was thinking that I was the scum of the earth at that time. You know, even though in the working guide in step four, the asset section is the last section, which should give, you know, I mean, thank God, or else I might have committed suicide or something, you know, thinking how bad I was. But I thought that I was going to start sharing this stuff with him, and he was going to just, like, cast me aside because I had done some crazy shit, okay? And, you know, come to find out that every time I shared something that I had done, he came back with another story about shit that he had done. And you know what? I knew long before then that I belonged here, But when I shared that fifth step with my sponsor, I'm like, you know, I'm really where I belong. Because these people understand. If these people don't understand, my sponsor understands. You know, so I knew I had picked the right guy. Because he was very trustworthy and never repeated anything that I ever told him. You know, and I told him some grimy shit. And so I'm revealing it to another human being, and you know, I'm making that admission to myself. I did make that admission because I did step four, you know. And you know, it says admit it to God also, you know, and him and I had a different God of our own understanding. Okay? And that's where I became cooler with it too, because, and you know what I was saying, the basic text says we can rationalize and justify the most outrageous sort of nonsense. Well, I don't have to admit nothing to God. He already knows. He knows everything. You know? And I guess it was just inviting God in and letting him know that I was remorseful for the things that I had done. Because see, the fourth step was all about the events. You know, the shit that I had done. Okay? But the fifth step was about my sponsor pointing out to me my patterns, motives, actions, and reactions. The ones that I was in denial of that I hadn't seen yet. Okay? And that's the exact nature. You know? That's the exact nature. I mean, you look up those two words. See, a dictionary is such a useful tool in recovery because shit don't mean what we think it, what I think it means, okay? I'm not going to speak for nobody else. Shit don't mean what I think it means. So, exact nature, I'm like, why do I do the shit I do? What makes me tick? Why do I do the shit I do again? Okay? That's the thing, you know, that obsession and compulsion. You know, because you don't have to be using to be caught in the grips. You know, did anybody ever come across a situation where you just, like, react the way you think you should have to react, and then that leads off a series of, a chain of events, and then when the night comes around and you're doing your inventory, you go, damn, I was caught up. Why did I do that? I feel like I was using. You know? And man, I go through that shit. And, you know, like I said, with the shit that's been going on with my family, my exact nature, I was caught up. My exact nature was vengeance. My exact nature was, how dare you hurt my mom? You know? That's a good exact nature, but the way you go about it, you know, it's not like, thank God we can't get thrown in jail for the shit we think. Okay? But it's like, I could think it, but am I going to act out on it? That's what recovery's taught me. You know? So anyways, I'm sorry, I'm skipping back and forth. Bear with me. I'm a mess right now. And, you know, I apologize. I make my amends for being a mess. How's that? Okay? Anyways, we're in my sponsor's office, you know, going through this stuff, and he's pointing out patterns and motives to me and actions and things that I could have done differently. And, you know, some of the things I saw already, because they were evidenced in the fourth step. And some of the things I was still in denial of because I wanted to hold on to those survival mechanisms. You know, I didn't want to uncover those character defects to go over in the sixth step because I didn't have none. You know, I was real honest about telling everybody else about what their character defects were, but I didn't have none. So anyways, once he set me straight on that, okay, Once he set me straight on that, we continued with the fifth step. And you know what? That was truly a bonding experience. Okay? I mean, you know, they say men with men and women with women in recovery. And, you know, I honestly can't recall if I ever had a decent relationship with a man or with anybody. Okay? Because you know what? I never had a decent relationship with God, never had a decent relationship with myself. How could I have a decent relationship with anybody else? What was I bringing to the table? A mess. Okay? So this was the first human being that taught me how to have a decent relationship. With men at first, and you know, now I have female friends that are just friends. Okay? And that was a concept totally foreign to me before I got here. I'm like, if a female talks to me, she's got to have a motive, because I knew I had a motive. Okay? And that's the whole thing. I had to look at all my motives and everything. But anyways, we sat in his office. We were there for hours, days, weeks. I don't even know how the hell long it was. You know, it was a long time. And, we had a thing. We always did step work by the water, because it's calming and serene. And it must have been winter time, because he had the sound effects and the visuals going on his laptop of the waterfalls, okay? So it was pretty cool. But anyways, you know, we shared this time. And we shared this bonding experience. And he didn't judge me. That's the thing. He didn't judge me. He didn't judge my desire. He didn't judge the filthy shit that I had done. He didn't judge good shit that I had done. He pointed out some good traits about me. Because when it got to the asset section in step four, you know, I didn't have too much to write, because I was beat up from all the dirty shit that I had done. You know? And he was very loving and caring. And, you know, we spent a lot of time laughing and crying and hugging and laughing and crying. And I had never done that with another person of the same sex before. You know, never. Never had a good relationship in my life. And I guess that was one of the side benefits of the fifth step for me. What time is it? That was one of the side benefits of the fifth step for me, is just learning how to have a relationship. You see, because I was starting to learn about myself. You know, I was starting to learn about myself. And it says, it's the key to freedom. The masks have to go. Addicts lead secret lives. And I was all that. Because, you know, if my motive was that I wanted something from you, I would act like you act. And if I wanted something from you, I would act like you act, and hope that these two weren't friends or didn't run into each other. Okay, that's how I lived my life. And you know, after we went through all this, oh my God, I don't even know how many pages it was. All I know was like months of blood, sweat, and tears. Because you see, at the time that I had done that, I think I started my first fourth step probably when I had about, I don't know, 7 or 8 months clean. And started sponsoring people, actually, when I was on my fourth step. And that was when I had 10 and a half months clean. And, you know, sponsorship is a wonderful thing. You could hear Jason and his sponsor, John, talk about it later. But if it wasn't for the sponsoring of people, you know, that's another thing that kept me around. Because, you know, recovery is, to me, is like a puzzle. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Okay? Because at first, all you got to do is just don't pick up. That's a one-piece puzzle. Okay? One piece. Don't pick up. And then you got the 90 and 90 and the sponsorship and the home group and the fellowship and the support group and the traveling to meetings and then the retreats and the conventions and the service work. You know, you got, and it just keeps expanding. And the longer I'm here and the harder I work at recovery, the harder I have to work. Because I realize that puzzle's grown and so is my disease. Okay? Recovery to me is like being on an escalator that's going down. So the disease of addiction is the escalator going down. And I'm trying to climb up that down escalator faster than it's going down. Well, guess what happens if I stop? I ain't standing still. I'm going down. So, you know, I got to work really hard at it. But, after my sponsor and I, after I shared my step with him, he worked at a trucking company then, so he said, come back outside, you know, come on outside to the back, you know. And I'm like wondering, what's this about? I'm done, you know. And he walked up to a burn barrel. And he said, go ahead and light your fourth and fifth step. Put it in there. Burn it up. And I looked at him like he was the craziest man on earth, okay? Honestly. Because my mind was telling me, I just spent months and months and months of blood, sweat, and tears on this shit, and you want me to burn it? And I told him that. He said I had the most terrified look that he had seen. And I had told him that, and he said, he looked at me and gave me one of those one-liners like he always used to, and my mind always told me, screw you, you can't be that easy, you know? And he came back with, what's the matter? You don't want to let go of the past. I was like, screw you, you know? But, you know, my sponsor had been around for a while, and, you know, I'm grateful that he had the foresight to ask me to make a copy of my fourth and fifth step. Okay? And I didn't know what that was about when he asked me that. I was like, what are you going to do, take it and write a book or something, you know? But now I understand, you know, and that's like recovery. We do a lot of things that are suggested depending on our desire. My desire to stay here is directly proportional to the amount of suggestions that I take from people that have been here for a while. Okay? So, he had been here for a while and you know, he knew. He had developed his form of sponsorship with me and it helped me develop my form of sponsorship with other people, you know? And, you know, I don't know. I apologize if I got off track a little bit here, whatever. But, you know, to me, those were the things that appeared to need to come out today. Because, like I said, when I came here, I was drop-dead tired. And I'm grateful to Jason for being a little late so I could catch a half an hour nap. And then we were up late last night, and then I went and listened to some friends share at 9 o'clock right after breakfast, and I'm like, you know, I was like, I don't got nothing. I don't got nothing. What am I going to say? You know, but God always pulls through for me, you know. So I've done this a few times, and, you know, I guess that's one of those patterns. Sometimes when I go to share and shit's been happening in my life, I tend to feel like I got nothing, you know. And like I said, I just turn it over and I have that faith because I know that God's never let me down. You know, I was the one to turn my back on him. He was always there. So, You know, if you're new, keep coming back. Don't leave before the miracle happens. If you've been around for a while, you know, keep coming back because you owe it not only to yourself, but you owe it to the newcomer. I love you all. My name is Sylvia.
Thanks, Sylvia. Our next speaker I would like to introduce to you is Nico Free Yourself Sunday Night.
My name is Nico, and I'm an addict. I was telling a couple people on the way down here that, you know, even though you're in recovery, you still get dope fiend from time to time. And I went to go get a cup of coffee, and I got asked to share here. You know, and he said he had nothing, and, you know, I've been pounding the book real quick just to refresh my memory on certain things. And, but first off, what I kind of like to do, you know, before I share, is for everybody, please shut your eyes. And just remember, you know, the people that's not here, the people that could have been here, you know, and the people that will be here. Because I'm sure each and every one of us has someone close to us, you know, that's not able to find this program. Once again, I'm Nico, and I'm an addict. They asked me to speak on Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose. It's to carry the message that the addict who still suffers. And what I try to find in this tradition is responsibility. That I have the first day after I had 24 hours. Because there was somebody out there that had less time than me. And I had to be able to help somebody else out. And it's like the program in Narcotics Anonymous is so great because somebody had to do that for me. They had to have the responsibility of doing the right thing, of working steps and traditions to guide me in the right direction. And the main part that I know about like this tradition is like it has to be a clear NA message. There are plenty of messages in Narcotics Anonymous. Plenty of them. But to be responsible in the program is to try to carry the clear NA message. And I was reading on the back of this coin that I got last week. You know, it says that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. You know, and I sit there and think that there are so many people that has been in the program in the past. I guess they didn't get that clear NA message. Or maybe they just wasn't ready. You know, that ain't here no more. And I don't know about you. I'm 30 years old. And I've probably been to over 50 funerals in the past 15 years because of this disease that I got. And I wish there's so many people that can get this message. I was sharing the other day that my mother is in rehab right now. You know, I remember, like, the tables got flipped. Because I remember 15, 16 years ago, my mother was like, just go to rehab, baby, and, you know, you can just listen to the people, and they're good. They'll tell you, you know, they'll try to help you. I'm sitting there like, whatever. You know, 23 rehabs and 16 halfway houses later, you know, I finally listened. You know, but it's funny because the tables got flipped. Now I was saying them exact same words to my mother. You know, and it hurts to do that. So now I know how my mother felt. You know, and it sucks. But at the same time, I feel good because hopefully she'll get some help. Hopefully she'll do it. My mother has a lot of health problems, and she needs pain medication, but she needs to learn how to manage her pain. and not just eat the whole bottle of pills in one day and still think that I'm on the streets can get her pills. It doesn't work like that no more, Ma. It's not. And, you know, but being responsible, you know, that's like the spiritual principle I get out of this tradition. Because, like I said earlier, you got to carry the message. And I remember when I first asked to be responsible in life, higher power got jokes. He likes to see with how much responsibility I didn't specify on how much responsibility I wanted. Children came along, you know, and that's a hell of a responsibility that I wasn't waiting for. You know, I wasn't ready for it, and but you really have no choice. And I don't know how it is. If anybody knows me, there's a few people right here that know me a little bit. And they'll tell you, you know, a few years back, I was the most irresponsible person you can ever find. I've never had a job. I manipulated everybody because I didn't want to be responsible and do the right thing. And today things are different. Like, I've actually held a job for over a year. For me, that's a come up. You know, I thought responsibility was when someone called my cell phone at 4 o'clock in the morning and wanted a hit, I was the responsible one. I got up and I sold it to them. I was responsible then. That's what I thought responsibility was. I was that good dope man. You know, but things are different today. You know, like responsibility in the program in Narcotics Anonymous, it's when that newcomer comes through the door, someone you haven't seen that comes to my home group that I don't know. I jump up and I run over, give them a hug and introduce myself and ask them who they are, where they from, and welcome. You know, and the carrying the clear NA message. You know, not I can sit here and quote the book because I've read the book. You know, I've actually read this. This is probably like one of two books that I have read in my whole life. And so I know a few things out of it. But when I share and when I speak, I'm not that Gucci speaker. I'm not that person that has all the great slogans to spit out to everybody. You know, because that's just not the way that I am. I can't do it that way. You know, I love when someone asks me to speak 15 minutes before I'm supposed to. You know, because I'm not sitting there in my head, so, like, the whole time, you know, the gentleman was sharing before me, I was sitting there trying to think of all this real good stuff. It's gone. It's out the door. You know, so, like, I'm just trying to carry a clear NA message. And, you know, that's one thing sponsorship's about. You know, having your sponsor. I've been through so many sponsors in my life. I got introduced to this program in 1992. Wish I stayed clean that long, but it didn't happen that way. But I got introduced to this program in 1992, and I've probably been through over 100 and some sponsors because I tried to find one to fit my personality. I had to find one that had a nice car and did this and that. It don't work like that for me today. I had to find somebody who's just honest, who knows the program, who's working the program. My sponsor don't have to have a $300,000 mansion somewhere, you know, up on the hill. You know, my sponsor is a great man. He knows the program. He's a little insane, but he knows the program inside and out. And I'm real grateful for my sponsor because when I share with him and when I talk to him, he carries a clear NA message to me. And I try to do that with people when I talk to them in a program. Because people know me outside of the program, and I still got a little bit of my street mentality, a little bit. You know, I sometimes use, like, slandered words and, you know, still talk like I'm on the street sometimes, but that was the way I was raised, that was the way I was born. You know, some guys was raised, you know, wearing a camel toe and a jerry curl. You know, I was raised differently. You know, like I was raised in a different era, so that's how, like, I kind of am. You know, and I got to stay true to myself. You know, do I change certain, I change a lot of patterns. I change a lot of my behaviors. So I can try to carry a clear NA message to the addict who still suffers. And, you know, it says in here, like, the first sentence of Tradition 5, it says, you mean our primary purpose is to carry the message? I thought we were here to get clean. like I said earlier, like as soon as I got that 24 hours clean, it was my turn to try to help somebody else out. But I wasn't trying to bang out steps with anybody, you know, but I tried to give somebody a ride to a meeting. And that's what I try to do today. I know when I first got out of my last halfway house, I thought I was going to open my own halfway house in the projects. You know, because I had a three-bedroom in the projects, I was paying $16 a month. You know, and I thought I was going to help all these guys come out of the halfway house to help start them out and everything else. And I had to realize that I wasn't ready for it, for one, because I didn't even have shit. And not everybody is here for the right reasons. And I had to get burnt like 5 or 6 times. Like, I had to get robbed. You know, like, I had to have people get high in my house. And, like, it just didn't work out. I don't know why, because I was trying to do the right thing. But I wasn't ready for it. And I see people trying to do that today, and I see the same things happening to them. And all I can really do is say, not a good idea. You know? And, but the program, you know, being responsible in the program kind of trickles out into my everyday life of being responsible. Like I said, I work now. And I take care of children. I take care of my kids. I try to do the right thing. Like, I was talking to my old sponsor that's here. And I remember a few years back, it was at a spiritual retreat, and I didn't want to register. I didn't have the money. And my sponsor said, well, you have the money to do it. Why don't you do it? And I was like, cuz, I don't want to be responsible. You know, I just said it flat out. He was like, well, you know, that money comes back to the area and, you know, helps us fund this thing and everything else. And I find it today, like yesterday, somebody I came up here with was like, well, you can register and I won't. You know, so they'll think both of us registered. And I was like, come on, baby. Like, we can't do that. It's got to be responsible today. You know, and we got to do the right thing. She was like, yeah, but we really ain't got the money for it because, like, she's not working right now. And I'm the only one working. That's different, too. Like, I'm the responsible person in the home. For now. She'll probably hear this. For now. You know, you'll be all right, baby. But, like I said, like I asked my higher power one day for responsibility. And now I'm getting flooded with it, and it feels like I'm getting overwhelmed. You know, I wrote on my Facebook the other day, I'm having a midlife crisis. You know, because I got all this responsibility on me, and it's like everything's not in the place. And I, you know, somebody told me to buy a Corvette. You know, that's what most people do in their midlife crisis. I can't afford it. They said a Chevette. Can't afford that. They said, how about a 10-speed? I said, that might be in my budget. You know, but I know if I go out and use, if I go out and put that needle back in my arm or do whatever, it's not going to make any situation better. No matter what, I'm going to be okay. You know, because I surround myself in the program with people that are responsible. You know, I hang out with nobody outside of the program. Days it gets lonely because there's not too many responsible people in my area that have time to hang out. There's plenty of people that are responsible. But, like, I work nights, they work days, and you know what I mean? Like, people just have their own lives. And so I try to, I get into literature a lot, you know. I get into the basic text. I get in Works How and Why. And I got this problem, which I've been getting, like, my ass chewed out lately from people, that I don't like to write too much. You know, I'd rather yap my damn mouth. You know, I'm good at that. I'm a dope fiend. I got the gift of gab. I got poor penmanship. That's my excuse. That's why I don't like to write. You know, but I'm starting to do it again. And so I got to be responsible in my program as well as outside of my program for me to further my life to be a better human being. You know, because I didn't come to this program to be miserable. You know, I come to this program because they said I could be, like, happy, you know what I mean, and like, joyous and stuff, and some type of freedom. You know, and have some freedom in my life because, like, I've been institutionalized since I was probably 12 years old. You know, I'm not just talking, you know, jails, you know what I mean, psych wards and everything else. You know, like, I'm talking about, like, the grip of addiction. You know, that's an institution of itself for me. Because I couldn't go nowhere unless there was dope there. You know, that was on my mind constantly. And so, like, I was confined to, like, the north side of Pittsburgh and, like, the Manchester area in the Mexican War streets. That's all I did. You know, I lived in Manchester, but yet I probably had a six-block radius that I walked because there was probably, like, 12 dope dealers in that six-block radius that I walked. You know, and I was able to manipulate at least one a day to get what I wanted if I didn't have money. You know, but today, like, responsibility and, you know, carrying this primary purpose, you know, like, there's so many people out there that need this program, you know, but only so many people, like, get it. And I really wish that a lot more people, I wish this place was packed. I wish there was no room for around here, you know. Because I like to talk to people. Like, I go around campsite to campsite, hey, how you doing? You know, just to know people because, like, my network, because not only these things keep me in with Narcotics Anonymous and people in different areas, but like I said, I've been to 23 rehabs and 16 halfway houses. Like, I know people from different areas because I've been bouncing around all around PA, Ohio, Montana, you know, like, in all different places. And, like, any area I go to, it's beautiful because I get to go see people. And I walk up and be like, oh, there goes the S'mores group. And, you know, I forget everybody's names, basically. You know what I mean? But I know faces real well. You know, there goes Greensburg and Containing. And, you know, Indiana's in the back always. You know, Johnstown's just flooded all over the place. You know. But it's, like, real great to see people again. And I wouldn't be able to do none of this if I wasn't, like, responsible. And, you know, it says, you know, in here, having, what's it say? All groups can do is plant a seed for recovery to bring addicts together so that the magic of empathy, honesty, caring, and sharing, and service can do their work. You know, that's all we can do is, like, maybe plant a seed to the newcomer. Because, like, I'm powerless over what they do. You know, hopefully they stay clean. Like I said, hopefully, because I've been to some meetings. Hopefully they can stay clean for that hour in the meeting. You know, but when they leave that meeting, like, I can't hold no one's hand all the time. I can't help everybody. But I just hope that they can get through that night, call somebody, read some literature, or even, like, come to the meeting the next day and say, you know what, I made it. You know, and that's a beautiful thing. When you see someone grow in this program, because, like, people start telling me that, like, wow, you're really being responsible. Like, we see you grow, like, just the way your actions and what you're trying to do. Like, I used to be that person that got up 30 times to get a cup of coffee during a meeting. Run to the bathroom 5-6 times just so everybody can see me. Now I'm so frustrated at my home group when home group members get up, like, during the meeting and, like, go to the bathroom. I'm like, go before. You know, we got to show the newcomer that you got to sit down, shut up, and listen. You know, and, like, I'm changing. You know, and, like, it's great. But I wish I could see it more. Like, I love when people say you're doing good. Because, you know, I like a pat on the back. You're doing a good job. You know, you're doing all right. But not nobody's there all the time to do that. So I got to look around, like, in my home. Like, I got a home. You know, I'm not in the projects no more. You know, like, but the projects was my starting point because that's all I can afford. But, like I said, getting responsible, doing the right thing, I'm able to afford a home. I'm able to afford a vehicle. You know, I'm able to do certain things, and I can look around and have gratitude, not just on the materialistic things in life, but have gratitude like, I'm breathing. You know, have some gratitude on, you know what, someone said it last night, the main speaker, about some pain. You know, because it says in the first step, when the pain gets great enough, you know, when we're beaten, we become willing. You know, I had to get beaten up so many times in life. You know, and I kept having to hit my head off that brick wall. You know, like I said, like, I knew the program. I just never applied it in my life. You know, and just look around and be like, wow, like, seriously, like, am I the responsible one who's doing the right thing? Not all the time. I fall short in some places. But you know what? It's a one day at a time program, and I know tomorrow I can work on that. You know, or when I'm wrong, you know, I can promptly admit it. Usually I like to, like, make sure I'm wrong. It takes about 24 hours to make sure I'm wrong. And then go back and try to make some amends or do the right thing. But, you know, this program in Narcotics Anonymous, like, gave me life. It gave me trust back in my life. It gave me so many things that I could sit here and ramble on forever. You know, and I'm starting to ramble now. So I know nowhere near the time I'm supposed to be stopping at. But that's the thing about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you're given free will. You know, my higher power gives me free will. You know, but as long as I choose to do the right thing with my will, things will be okay. Life ain't going to be great. Like I heard my sponsor speak last night. I'm not born and bred to have that mansion, to drive that Hummer. You know, right now I'm born and bred to live in Kernville, drive a 99 Maxima, and to try to carry a message. You know, that's what I'm born for right now. And as long as I keep doing the right thing, things might get better. Things might stay the same. But I'm okay with that. Because I'm alive. It's not. And a lot of people that I know can't say that. One quick thing. About a month ago, I have a best friend that grew up in diapers together. We sold drugs together. We did drugs together. But as soon as, like, the harder drugs came along, the smartest thing in the world. He got the hell away from me. He went his way. I went my way. I'm talking me and this kid, brothers. You know, and like about a month ago, I hugged my brother for the first time in 11 years. You know what I mean? Like, I was crying. He was crying. We got to share it with other people. His sister was crying. His mom was crying. You know, because of the program in Narcotics Anonymous. And someone shared a clear message with me. I was able to do the right thing. And he felt time that it was time for me to come back into his life. And I can't blame him one bit for running away from me. Because I would have dragged him down quick. You know, the man's successful. Man got a family. Man graduated college. You know, he wouldn't have had none of that if he stayed in my life. You know, but because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm able to have some of these things back. There's a lot of good friends of mine that I cannot hug because they tried to come to the rooms and they just couldn't get it. But I'm able to hear a clear message, and get a little bit of this stuff in my head and apply it a little bit every day in my life. And these things are slowly coming back over a period of time. And I was just so grateful that, you know, the committee asked me to share today. And, you know, like, I really needed this. And I don't know. Once again, I'm Nico and I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.